first of all, we want to understand that the Hebrew wisdom is strong, means strong. The Hebrew word for wisdom is strong. And it says in the Proverbs, a wise man is strong. And it's not considered to be strong as an intellectual, but strong in character. So that when we come to study Proverbs, it's not but really grow in character. It's heart knowledge and head knowledge with hands and feet. And in fact, I came across an interesting bit of information that a sophomore is the Greek word for a wise fool. They know everything, but who knows a little. That's a sophomore, 10th grade, and used to be considered a sophomore in college, but it's here in high school, isn't it? That they already feel they know so much when they know so little. But it's because, you see, their feet haven't caught up with their thoughts far, but they haven't learned to act far. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book of working out one's knowledge. And even the knowledge comes from God, and the working out has to come from Jesus Christ. And it says in Corinthians, Jesus Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's both the wisdom that gives us the knowledge, and he's also the power that puts that knowledge into wisdom in our lives. So that is where we're going to study and how we're going to study. In other words, there's no auditing of a course like this. And shall we say, the school of wisdom is only one which we can live out. We don't learn it in a seat, sitting, taking notes. It's not anything like that. It's a case of having to do and to live out. To make us strong in character, then, is the purpose of this book. It reminds me in that sense of judo. My son's taking judo lessons, and a few lessons in which they sit on the floor and on the blackboard, they have these unpronounceable Korean words. And I've noticed, as I've observed the lessons, how 99.9% of the time is action, and so little of the book learning. And you can just see the growth, visibly, increase of confidence, the increase of courage, the increase of expert competence in skills. It's a fascinating study for me, just to be an observer in this whole thing. That's what Proverbs should be. The amount of time we spend getting them into our head is important. And we actually do need to have the understanding of what is said. But the rest that we spend here is to be that 0.1% and let the Lord live it out the rest of the week, many, many times over. And we shall grow in confidence in the Lord. Wisdom has different words. I'm just going to give you here different facets. Let's look up Proverbs 1 of what wisdom really is. Also, Proverbs 1:1-7. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools and instruction." There's your first little point of first brush mark on your portrait that you're going to paint of the wise man and the fool. Now, some of that may sound very wordy and a little bit difficult. Let's just look at it for a few minutes. First of all, who are the people, for instance, that this book is written for? Can you just mention? Who's mentioned there? What kind of people in verses 1-7?
Simple.
Yes. The simple, simpleton would be a good way of translating that. Yes. The man of the wise man, the man of understanding, the simpleton, the youth,
the fool.
Yes, and the men in general. That beginning in some versions will speak and introduce it with saying to men. It's a proverb claimed for men everywhere. It's not just to one or the other. The fool will ignore it, but the wise man will accept it. All right, now let's look at those words. There's the word instruction, and in verse 3a, the word instruction. And that word is one of the facets. There's like five facets of wisdom here. One is instruction, or another word that you might use is training. It's a training. And it's often used in conjunction with the words reproof and correction. Put together, it means discipline. Discipline. Therefore, you must be a disciple in order to get this wisdom. There's no such thing, as we've said before, as auditing the course, because it really includes the discipline of applying the instruction. Two, the second facet of wisdom is, and that is found in verse 2b, to perceive the words of understanding. Understanding there is reference to insight. It's associated with discernment, differentiating between good and evil. That I may discern between good and evil. And that was the understanding that he wanted, and which we also very much need. And in our lives, so often, it isn't the understanding or the discernment between good and evil, but between good and best. That's what we need, an understanding. Third, in verse 3a, to receive the instruction of is wise dealing. Instruction of wisdom, as it's put in the King James, but wise dealing. And that's to have the good sense and the practical wisdom of putting it into practice, a savoir-faire, a kind of a knowing, and a comparison. A companion term there is sound wisdom. The kind of sound wisdom. Then the fourth facet of wisdom is shrewdness. In verse 4, part A, to give prudence to the simple, or shrewdness. And 4b, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Discretion and shrewdness go together there. And that's referring to the ability to make plans. Especially, you see, as it's given there, for the young man, so that they can know how that they should operate, what plans they should make. A shrewd man sees dangers, it says in another proverb, and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So, but the shrewd man is one who can make his plans, such kind of wisdom. And then the fifth point is knowledge and learning, and that is in verse 5. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel and increase in learning. And, of course, the knowledge is of the truth of God, but it's living truth. It's God himself. It's not just an informed mind. Definition of living. Coming back to that, having said all this, I would say that perhaps one very good definition is truth for living. A definition of wisdom, sorry, is truth for living. It's not an abstract truth, but it's a truth to do. The Greeks specialized like to have principles behind things. Ideas was what they majored in. But the Hebrew people wanted a way of life. They wanted to know how to operate, to live their lives the best way they could. And that was their desire. They majored in wisdom. God gave the Hebrews wisdom, but the Greeks sought after philosophy. I would say also another definition of wisdom is one that's commonly used by Bill Gotthard, and I like it. Seeing life from God's point of view. I like that one. And the third is one that came to me and that means something to me, and that's God's common sense. That's what I would call it, God's common sense. All right. Now, just a couple of more points, because this is just an introductory course, and if they want to make any comments, you may. Wisdom, we discover, is not just put as an idea like the Greeks might have, with all these different facets and talking about definitions and so on. But wisdom, I want to mention that in the book of Proverbs, we see wisdom as a personification. Like we, for instance, in Mother Nature, we use the word Mother Nature dictates this, or Mother Nature is doing that, Mother Nature is growing this, and so on. So wisdom is described as a person in Proverbs. As particularly, for instance, in Proverbs 1, verse 20, right away in other sections, it says, wisdom cries aloud, and it cries aloud on Main Street, right in the street. Wisdom is not selective and secretive, we're going to discover as we go on, like folly is, hidden and you know, covered, concealed, and so on. But wisdom cries aloud, an open market offering. And then Jesus used wisdom. Would you like to quickly look to Matthew 11:19, see what he says there about wisdom? One version says, wisdom is justified of her children. But another version is, wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. In other words, just as we've been saying, it's not a volume of knowledge, of head learning, but it's deeds experiences. It's deeds that are going to be the wisdom. So that wisdom is vindicated or proved, evidenced by her deeds. That's what the Lord Jesus said. So we find that in Solomon is telling us that wisdom cries aloud in the streets, and then as we go into Proverbs 8, we'll discover wisdom, a beautiful other personification of wisdom, which we see Jesus Christ himself, but also Paul. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 1:24, 30. Would you like to look up 1 Corinthians 1:24 and 30? Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And then verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. So who is the personification of wisdom? Jesus Christ. He has been made unto us wisdom. That relieves me of the pressure of a lot of peripheral learning, of feeling that I've got to put out an enormous effort to get a whole lot of words in me. We're going to discover some methods and discuss the methods of study and do some various methods, including memorizing. But I'm afraid that memorizing with the head doesn't put it in the heart. You know, it's only Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, when he is our wisdom and our power, that we really become ourselves wise. The starting point of all wisdom is, as it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean by fear? The fear means the reverent awe of the Lord. In other words, we're reverent with awe before somebody. We have submitted ourselves to that person. We have decided that we shall listen to that person. We shall allow that person to rule over us. That is worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness that we talked about in Psalm 96. The beginning of wisdom. What does it mean by the beginning of wisdom? The beginning means it's not just a set sage and then over. But it means it's the principle underlying all the future learning. Wisdom is the first and the beginning of wisdom is the beginning and controlling principle of all our further learning is the fear of the Lord. So that we only start as we begin to know reverence for the Lord. It's not a right method of thought, therefore, but it's a right relationship, you see, and it's dependent on revelation. The hidden meaning of wisdom is Jesus Christ. And I'd just like us to close with looking up Luke. As we look up in Luke 24:13, we read this. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they could not know him. Now, I just want to stop there and say, we read that scripture, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And we think of a little house group or prayer meeting somewhere in church or something, and we say that's where Jesus comes together to us. I want to say this, that as two or three are going along the road of life, walking together, discussing a heartache and a problem, but are reasoning together, what did Jesus say? What did he mean? Where is he? Why has this happened? What did the scriptures say about it? Whatever took place, as they were reasoning and communing, but they were seeking, you see, the Lord and his wisdom, he drew near. And as we're going to walk together in our walk of life, he will draw near. As we talk together and discuss together and question together, he will draw near. And he will do what he did for them, because their eyes were closed, that even when he came to talk with them, they didn't recognize him. Our eyes are often closed too. We are dull of hearing and slow of understanding. And our eyes are often vague of seeing, dim of seeing. And that the Lord himself will draw near. And we're going to believe that he's going to do for us what he did there. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? He didn't intend for his people to be sad. He intended for us to walk and be glad. But there was something amiss. They were missing him. They weren't understanding. And so one of them, his name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not heard the things which have come to pass these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Dear friends, we've trusted many things as we've understood them. And we may not have understood clearly. We may not have got it all straight. But we're still seeking God, aren't we? These people were still seeking the Lord. And this was one of his most wonderful object lessons that he gave us that we could get some wonderful truth out of. Wait, and we're going to talk. Yea, and certain women also of our company, verse 22, made us astonished, who were early at the sepulchre. We women who get up early to meet the Lord, astonish, may astonish other disciples. Rise up early to seek him. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And verse 27 is the verse. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Dear friends, do you not see the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ, right from the beginning, he himself is showing himself to us as we walk with him, as we talk with him. He will expound and we will see who he is all through the history, all through the prophets, all through the wisdom literature, all through the rest of the New Testament. He will tell us and show us who he is. That thrills me. As we walk with him, he'll show us also. That's all I'm going to talk about for today. We have at least 15 more minutes. I wonder if there are any questions. I wouldn't possibly promise to answer them. But we're going to ask you to read chapters 1, 2, and 3 for the next time. And I suggest that you look up some other words for definitions, and you make your own or check out and see what you can find for some other words, such as froward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, the word simple, what does it really mean, and the word fool, the word scorner, and prudent.